Here's this.
All right.
Here's this simple little healing in Luke of the infirm woman. 13:10-3. It only takes a few verses, and we are apt to pass over it. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. There's that word, Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together, maybe it's pronounced bowed, and could in no wise lift herself up. Notice the play on words, could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now take it slow and see this. When Jesus saw her, he called to her, and then he spoke to her, and then he touched her. Three steps. You feel the Christ within you calling you, then it speaks to you, and then truth touches you. These are the three inner steps that happen within you on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, when you're taking a Sabbath from human thought. Now remember that, because that's the whole purpose of this teaching here. To take the Sabbath, let the Christ within call you and obey it until it speaks to you and then touches you, and you see that's your peace. It's all within you. Now let's go to a more difficult healing. This one is the epileptic. The degree to which some of this has been misunderstood is that in doing a little research on it, I came across a treatise about how epilepsy is being caused by moon rays. And of course, the writer is under the influence of the moon himself. This also came under the heading of exorcising the spirits, casting out the demons. And nothing could be further from the truth unless you use these words as symbolism. Now, the disciples were very unlucky here, and so the father of the boy complained to Jesus. Certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, the lunatic, who is sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Aha. Uh-huh. Jesus knows exactly what happened. He falleth into the fire and oft into the water. This boy had, in a previous life, studied in the mysteries. But he was one of those wise boys. He thought, now I can use this. And so he was playing around with his fire and his water. He was called a black magician. One of those fellows who try to influence people with his great mind. And it only boomeranged. And now he's a lunatic, and he has epilepsy. You see, this is a warning. Do not try to use spirit. It must be the boss. It employs you. You never make God your servant. You are the servant of the Father. And so Jesus now knows what's happened. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they couldn't cure him. The disciples apparently didn't understand the nature of this problem. So Jesus called them faithless and perverse, without faith. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And after having rebuked the devil, he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that hour. He rebuked the devil. Now let's see that he wasn't healing this boy. Let's see that he didn't ask God to overcome the problem. Let us see that he was merely looking through what human eyes saw, but bearing witness instead to something else. And he was able to do it Because he was living in the peace of the Christ. Now his disciples apparently were not living in that peace. They were still going out and saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, get better. And it didn't always work. Now they say, why don't we heal? What's the problem? Why could not we cast him out? And now you must see this, as our class did in infinite way some time ago. Why could not we cast him out? Because there was no him to cast out. They were under the hypnotism that there was a him to cast out. They were accepting a problem. And therefore, in accepting a problem where there was only God invisible, they were making their own problem. And trying to solve that which didn't exist was obviously an untenable situation. Jesus, knowing there was no problem, was like Marconi, knowing there was no friction in the air to worry about for the wireless. And so he says to them, you must learn the faith of the grain of mustard seed, which means that the seed is really an invisible tree. And they must see that the epileptic victim is really the invisible Christ. You cannot look with human eyes and ever know truth. And so we're looking instead with truth from within and recognizing only God invisibly omnipresent instead of the visible epileptic. And so this was his teaching to them and to us. Now let's take this word omnipresence and see what it does for you. Suppose you're working in an office where the girls think you just are too smart and they don't like you for that. You get the work done quicker than everybody else. You're the boss's pet. And they actually are pretty vicious about it. They don't like you and they let you know it. They try to form all kinds of little cliques around you to in some way discredit you. They hate you. They want revenge for your being such a good worker. And they're pretty vicious. And then you say, oh, they're all jealous of me. They hate me. And you feel quite justified in that remark because that's how it appears to you. But that's not living in a way that's going to do you any good. And furthermore, it's going to be a barrier to your development. You've got to see that the way to handle the situation is the same way you handle an epileptic. You must have the awareness of that which is not visible. Now, what is there? And this is important. What is there where you are seeing the hate of these employees? Is God omnipresent? Is there any other presence than omnipresence? And if so, are not the qualities of God there? If God is love, then how can there be hate there if God is omnipresent? Love is there and only love. How can there be animosity when God is harmony? How can there be vindictiveness when God is forgiveness? Now then, you have the qualities that are there of God, love, forgiveness, harmony, but you are accepting hate, animosity, and vindictiveness and feeling justified about it. You're not going to free yourself from that situation, but my peace will. Now then, find it in yourself to simply acknowledge that I am present within you, that I am present in that office. Forget the scene. Forget what the eye sees. Seek me within you, for my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. And lo and behold, hold to my peace. Did I not say that I go before you to make the crooked places straight, that I prepare a table for you in the midst of thine enemies, that I perfect that which concerneth thee? Don't you think I meant it? Don't you think that I'm living this I that speaks to you from within? And now suddenly, And I speak to you from an actual experience. The girls are just eating out of this other girl's hand. They love her. Why? Because the peace is the power. And love is there. It's in every person on the face of the globe. But if you won't acknowledge the presence of love in them, how can it come up to you? If you won't acknowledge the invisible presence of God's harmony, how will it come up to you? And so on. Let's take your employees now. You think they're very stupid. Is God stupid? Is not God omnipresent? And therefore, where is the fault lying? In your employee or you? The moment you can see that God being omnipresent, wisdom is right there where the employee cannot receive it, you are activating that which is present, and through your realization, that which is wisdom begins to function in this individual. Oh yes, you have a great power. You can use it on your animals, your pets, your children. But you see, only the power of truth. You cannot in any way use this to intimidate someone or to threaten them or to hold them under. It's a liberating influence. And the moment you make a long list to yourself of all the qualities of God and begin to perceive that every one of these qualities is at full strength in every cubic inch of this universe, it won't matter who or what you see that counts, but rather you will sow to the invisible spirit, which are those qualities, and you'll bring those qualities up from the invisible into the visible manifestation. Do you see dominion then is in you, and the meaning of I have given dominion unto man? I have planted myself in full strength throughout the universe, and man who knows this has dominion over the universe simply by knowing that I am there in my fullness. Sowing to that truth rather than to the visible, inefficient, vindictive people you think you're seeing. How you change your own universe around you. Now this is your Christ consciousness functioning you. Never let it be said then that there is a condition around you that has dominion over you. The only condition that has dominion over you is your false belief that the condition exists. Then you see, you have no problems but one, to know that God is omnipresent and only God. And that banishes 40 people in a room studying spirit and shows us that only God is present, appearing as God invisible, appearing as God is and appears as. And that's your principle. And always the peace will take you into the principle. So you don't have to be remembering so many things. There's nothing we will ever say again that will ever change the simple principle of my peace. And my peace, you see, is the sum and summation of all the principles, so that it, being the mind and power of God, need not be reminded. You don't have to tell it what to do or how to do it or when to do it. You simply have to touch it, like this woman with an issue of blood. Just by touching the garment, which means she touched the Christ. Just touch the Christ. And instantly my peace relieved that hemophiliac condition. Always you will find this to be the case with yourself. And now please use that principle and use it consistently without ceasing, because that's the nature of true prayer. To know the peace of God and to look out and resist no evil, because you can't resist evil and be in the peace at the same time. Now, these are practical ways of life. And you may say, oh, how wonderful. And I'm going to heal myself of every problem I have. But please don't stop there. remain poor in spirit so that the real Christ message can come through. The healing is only the evidence of the invisible. It is the restoration of truth into your experience so that you can know the Father is present. And with a few of these under your belt, you'll be willing to and ready for the higher healings, the healing of mortality, the healing of finiteness, the healing of lack of abundance, the healing of crime, the healing of war. We'll be ready for the greater works. And you will be lifted through this kind of healing into the realm that you have been seeking so many lifetimes. For this is now that era when the soul realm does take us and teach us that which the Father created in the first chapter of Genesis. We're all being prepared just for that, to rest in our true self and to find the body of light, the body of spirit, which knows no need for healing. Now, when Jesus healed this epileptic, this so-called lunatic boy, it is important to see that what he did was to recognize the Christ peace within himself, and this lifted the boy into a new consciousness, a new consciousness in which there are no diseases to be healed. And as you touch the peace of the Christ within you, you're lifted into this new consciousness in which there are no problems to be solved. There are no problems to be solved in the consciousness which is brought to us by the Christ peace. And therefore, the illusion of problems is banished. We are restored to reality. We have nothing to overcome. We have no diseases to heal. Problems simply do not exist in this consciousness because this consciousness is the kingdom of God. Now, if you have children at home, apply it to them and see that every quality of God is where that child is. It makes no difference what the child seems to lack. Your function as a parent or grandparent is very clear now. It's to be conscious of every quality of God existing where a child seems to be. You're looking no longer at the material child, but at the spiritual qualities of God which are there, and your realization of those qualities being present is the influence that you bear to bring forth those qualities so that every quality of the Father which you can recognize in the invisible as being present where the child or grandchild is, that will be your contribution to making that child into the divine image and likeness of the Father. And particularly a parent whose consciousness is the child has that great and wonderful privilege of bringing a child into the Christ awareness through his or her Christ consciousness. Now, Mary, of course, caught all of it in seeing that this is the child, the Christ, the beloved of my Father. We are to have this same realization about our children. And as each one of us is able to see that the love of God is where my child is, the health of God is where my child is, the intelligence of God is where my child is, the integrity, the beauty, the joy, the capacity, the talent. Do you see your power as a parent? In simply recognizing the invisible reality that is omnipresent where the child is, and the truth you know now becomes activated, visible, manifest, a living truth, and this is what you give your children. We haven't known this, you know. We simply haven't known it. And it only comes out as we live in the very way that Jesus was trying to get us to live. He was trying to get us to live by this innerness, this inner communion. And in this inner communion, the Spirit feeds you the truth you need at the moment. I'd like to tell you something, and it may seem to us that Jesus may have failed, you know. After all, he did come to earth to teach us these things, but we didn't seem to learn them. There's another level of this truth that will come to you in time, and it's this, that he was actually on earth teaching those who were invisible, living in spirit, and those who were about to be initiated into spirit, as well as those who were visible and not in spirit. And his teaching was received by many so that they could take it with them where they went, and it is they too who are teaching you and me right now. You see, there was no failure. It was a teaching to someone other than you and me. Now, this is a level of the Christ consciousness we aren't yet aware of. But these who have attained are those who have already received his teaching, and now from another plane are also teaching us. Never think that it was possible for the Christ teaching to fail. As a matter of fact, it is going to include every individual that exists. But those of us who are learning the Christ message now are merely being spared additional years of pain, suffering, and frustration, which are totally unnecessary when you are able to accept the simple authority of his teaching and not try to select those parts of it that you feel are pleasant and avoid those that you feel require a little extra effort. You see, we have to accept the totality of it and abide by it. And when he teaches us that this is a spiritual universe, and you continue to live in the belief that there is matter, well, you see, you're in that separation from reality. You're living in matter, but spirit is the only reality. And that puts you outside the ball game. You're not even on the playing field. And this is the living dead which he came to raise. This is the sick which he came to heal. This is the hungry he came to feed. Those who are not aware that they are not living in reality, who need spiritual food, spiritual drink, spiritual awareness, who need my peace. Now, you and I, by now, or at least have one foot in the door. If we're in the material universe, we at least have another foot in spirit. But you can't straddle it forever. That two-world business gets to be pretty disturbing. You have to finally abandon the false world, not by suicide, but by the realization of my peace. Because my peace does the work. My peace makes the transition for you. And so let's let this withinness, this inner communion, reveal to us the non-reality of the human problem, the reality of the perfection of spirit due to the fact that God stands everywhere, complete, whole, functioning, perfect. And there are no epileptics to heal, and no women with backs that are somewhat broken or bowed so that they cannot straighten up. And there are no financial problems and no domestic problems. Don't be taken in by the false appearance of a problem, because to lift us out of these false world appearances is a major part of the healing mission of the Christ, preparing you for the moment when you not only are accepting a spiritual universe, but that which you accept begins to embrace you and vault you into this new realm of spiritual consciousness, where all the epileptics are gone, all the financial and emotional problems are gone, where you walk in your eternal self while in the flesh. You see how there's a yielding, a surrendering, a willingness to let this peace take you? It's not a you doing anything. There's that surrender. There's that ability to let go. And mark these words, until you learn to let go, you will not find my peace. As long as you think you are going to solve something, my peace will not lift you. You must be willing to cut every human tie and not seek human aid. Seek the Christ peace wherever you can find it. And the Christ peace will not only heal you now, but eternally. One more thing tonight, perhaps, is another way of meditation which I think is very good. If you have trouble being silent with many thoughts pounding at you, please don't try to take a knife and cut those thoughts out. They're not going to harm you in the least. As a matter of fact, there's a way of sliding behind these thoughts, which you must practice, which is very effective and brings you into my peace. Now, perhaps we call it, I'm going to call it surfboarding, because it's kind of like riding the waves on a surfboard. If you've seen movies of the real professionals, they wait for a wave to break a certain way, and when it begins to break, they sort of follow that breaking of the wave, and then at a certain point, when it has spent itself, they slide in behind it before the next wave breaks and slide right through, and you see, they miss the waves. It's a very tricky technique, and only the top ones can do it, and even they sometimes are catapulted over. But when they find that inner valley between the waves, and they're quite high, 50, 60, 70 feet, they're able to go right skimming through. Now then, we can do that with mental thoughts, with waves of thought, and it would go something like this. You're trying to meditate, and here comes a thought. You're not trying for this thought. In fact, you wish it weren't there. And your normal impulse is to say, get away now, get away. But forget that. Let's go surfboarding. Let the thought come, and here it is now. You're waiting for a bus. There comes the bus. You get on the bus, and you sit down in the bus. You don't know why in the world you're thinking of this thing when you're trying to meditate, but there it is. It just pops in. Well, let it. Take a little ride on the bus. Now watch. Suddenly, this thought is going to just spin itself out, and there's a moment when the thought is done. Now, that's the end of that thought wave. Wait for that end of the thought wave. Let it spin itself out, and then slide right in behind it before the next thought comes in, and watch. You're in the peace. It deepens and deepens. And suddenly you have found the deep silence of my peace. You have surfboarded between your own thoughts. And as a result of that, you're in a state of no thought. You're actually taking no thought. And you know, you don't have to do anything more, because when you're taking no thought, you're touching the infinite. And the infinite is my peace. Then the infinite shows you reality, and the world says, look, there's a healing. There was no such thing. There was simply the absence of thought, which had projected a need for a healing that wasn't true. And in the state of my peace, sliding between the thoughts that have come to you, you receive the thoughts of the Father, whose thoughts never were your thoughts, but whose thoughts are the purity of being. And lo and behold, there's that check you needed. There's that smile instead of a frown. Well, there's reality and truth instead of the false world of appearances. Try it, please, because it has worked for me and it may work for you. You'll even be amused at your own thoughts because you're going to trick them. You're going to let them spin themselves out and then in you slide, and you're invulnerable to thought. Now then, the next thought that comes will only be the thought of God. And that thought, of course, is your liberation. So this tonight is the understanding that there are no problems in this world. There are no wars and hurricanes and diseases other than mental projections. And as we try to heal them, we perpetuate them. But rather, if we will accept the teaching of the Christ, peace I give unto you, my peace, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid, because my peace is the power. You need no might, you need no power. My peace, the Spirit, within you is more powerful than any army of ills you may encounter. And although you may not understand how it works, the modus operandi of it, it does work. And this is something the church has finally got to learn and trust. And then you'll find every denomination will no longer be a separate denomination, because they will all have the one infinite non-sectarian Christ. We won't be cutting up God's garment into little pieces. Truth, you see, is not divisible. Now, we're seeing many healings these days. Not all of them are in the category of monumental works. But it's very surprising that there are those among us who, even though new at this, are doing things that some of us, after 10 years, can't do, which should prove to you that if you have a respect for the Christ authority and not the kind of mind that likes to sit back and debate, you really can go out and do it. I mean, do it. Because it is being done. There's no reason now for any of us to continue with our disharmonies or lacks of any kind. It's not your Father's pleasure for you to experience disturbance in His perfect universe. And you do have the weapon, the one major weapon, if you will only take the trouble to use it and have the courage to trust it and depend upon it. That makes you the church of God, you see, the temple of the living God. And this is the only way that you're ever going to mount into mansion after mansion. There must be this total reliance on yourself as the church, and the peace of God within you is the minister. It's really very simple and beautiful, and it's infallible. If you have time, just look over any of the healings, and you'll see then our teacher never had a problem to solve, never asked God to solve a problem, and therefore was free of every material limitation that has ever been known to man. That's why there are so many different healing miracles. You can't hedge out and say, well, he couldn't do this or he couldn't do that. Everything you can think of is covered. From dropsy to palsy to leprosy to starvation. Everything you can think of is covered, and all in the same way. This is my Father's house, and therefore what I'm seeing is not there. I don't have to heal what isn't there. I don't have to heal a problem that only exists as an illusion. And because God alone is the power, I don't need another power to overcome any other power. Because God is the law, there's no law to a disease. And if it has no law, I don't have to overcome the law of disease. You see, you peel away veil after veil after veil, and you come down to the simplicity of his teaching. And we don't need vague and euphemistic terminologies that circumvent the issues. We can get right to the simple truth. God is where I am, God is where you are, and everything in between that is God. And live there in that realization. Everyone here is a practitioner because the peace of God within you is the practitioner. Not as the world giveth, but the deep silence of his peace. I think maybe we've covered our subject for tonight. Let's find this deep silence. I'm very proud to tell you that we have tonight with us more healers in this little room than in many of the total denominations of churches that there are in the United States. And you can go forth and teach the ministry, especially as you continue to unsee world appearances instead of praying to heal them. There's really not one of you who couldn't say to any minister in the world, I know the truth. And this is only the beginning for us, because truth has a way of taking you within itself and letting you walk in the light. We have some surprises coming up in future classes, which I can't talk about exactly, but they're happening, and be sure that they will be liberating. So I'll see you soon, and God bless you.